This morning, we are continuing in our series on the book of Joshua. Joshua. Joshua, sweet as lemon squash you are. That's a song my mother used to sing. I don't know where that came from, but there you are. Joshua, you'll never forget that one now. There you are. The series is called Taking Ground, which is the theme for us this year. That we would be a people who are taking ground. So, Father, I pray, even as I speak these words, God, that even right now we would take ground. We would take ground in terms of confidence. Lord, this is a season for taking ground, and a real time that's so significant for us as we take physical ground, Lord. So we want to thank you for that. This is a significant time for Liberty Church. We have a new home. We can officially say Liberty Church has a home. And that is something wonderful. A couple of weeks ago, the first message I spoke on this, I should press that button actually, there we are. I'm in control of this. It's usually whoever's on the project on doing the laptop does it, but I decided I would do it this morning because there's a few slides. So the first message was called Strong and Courageous a couple of weeks ago, where in the book of Joshua and the earlier book of Deuteronomy, we hear that phrase, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. So many times as they prepare with God's people, and Joshua prepares to take them into the land. And the reason they could be strong and courageous, because the Lord says again and again, I am with you. He says to Joshua, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Again and again and again. And that is the reason for your strength, and that is the reason for courage. Not because you summon up something within yourselves or you use your resources, but because I am God and I will make a way. And I believe that's a calling on us at this time in the new season. Today's message was prepared in faith. I started thinking about it a while ago. I was working on it this week, and before Thursday came along when we actually heard the news, I'm thinking, God, it would be really good. This message would work really well if we knew this was the last Sunday in Queen Anne. Today we are crossing over. In our last Sunday in Queen Anne, we are crossing over. Joshua taking the people of Israel into the promised land. He waited for 40 years. For 40 years. They had been wandering in the desert and waiting for this day. But actually, it went back longer than that. The story goes way back beyond that. Because in Genesis chapter 17, the promise is made to Abraham, the land where he stood, that God was going to give him and his descendants this land. Now, Abraham never saw it. It was promised to Isaac, and Isaac never saw it in that light. And it was promised to Jacob, and Jacob never saw it. It was given to Moses, and Moses didn't take the people in, but Joshua took the people into the land. This is it. The time has come for the people to enter the land. Let me read some of the story from Joshua. Now, there's a lot of it in the beginning of Joshua, if you read Joshua, and it was a little bit confusing because it goes backwards and forwards, so this is the Reader's Digest version of the story here. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites, the promised land. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. Get your provisions ready. We had a prophetic word this morning that came in when we were praying through there. What are our provisions? Maybe there's a time when we have to leave some stuff behind. Maybe when the Israelites packed their things, they said, we don't need that anymore. And maybe for some people here as we move in, and maybe for us as a church, there's some things we leave behind as we enter the new. Maybe we're going on with carry-on luggage only. Maybe it's a time to leave that 20 kilograms of luggage that you don't need behind. And maybe that's for you this morning. Maybe that's for us. Get your provisions ready. Get the stuff you need ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Then in chapter 2, we've got this wonderful story of Rahab the prostitute, who's not a Jew, who just happens to end up in the genealogy of Jesus. I love the way that God does that. And she hides the spies. The spies are in the land, and they come back again, and they spied out the land, and they come back, and they say to Joshua, the Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us, because they had seen what God had already done. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. You've not done this before. This is new. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits, that's about 900 meters, 1,000 yards, between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. For those of you not familiar with the Ark of the Covenant, and you haven't seen the Harrison Ford film, The Raiders of the Lost Ark, which is probably why most people know about the Ark. It's a box, essentially, a casket that was made, and it sat in the holiest of holies in the temple, and it signified, it symbolized the presence and the power of God. It had various things in it, like the stone tablets that Moses, the Ten Commandments, and it had Aaron's rod, and it had manna, and all sorts of things in there. And it sat there in the holiest of holies. It was a symbol of the presence and power of God. And only the Levites could carry it, and even then they couldn't touch it. They had to carry it on poles. It was that deemed to be that holy. And so when the people had to keep away from it, it symbolized the presence and the power of God. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Sometimes if you've ever been to Israel, you know the Jordan, sometimes there are places you can just step across it. It's quite simple, and there are seasons when it's dry. There are other seasons when it's a raging torrent. This would be one of them. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. Those of you who know the story of the Red Sea, when Moses parted, Moses was there, and God parted the Red Sea, and the people walked through it. This was a bit different. A sea is different apart from a river. Not that I've had much experience on either. But a sea kind of doesn't have a flow. It's there. A river is obviously moving downhill. And I love this fact that it piled up a good distance away. And I can just imagine Joshua and the priest, you know, they're getting there, and they said, you know, he's like, God has told us to do this. So they put their foot in the water. He said, God, you need to come through on this. You really need to do this. Because otherwise, well, one, I'm going to look very foolish. Two, the Levites are going to get their feet wet. And three, we might lose the Ark of the Covenant. And that would be seriously bad news. You've got to come through in this. And as they step into the water, I can imagine nothing visible happening. It's like, come on, God. Come on, something's got to happen here. Because the water was dammed up a large distance away. Between that dam and where the priests were, there was still a lot of water to come through. And I can imagine the water's coming through and then looking back and saying, Joshua, nothing's happening. Come on, God, come on, come on. And then slowly they say, oh, wait a minute. It's getting lower. The water's getting a bit lower. Something is happening. And eventually the water that was upstream would just flow out and flow down into the Dead Sea, and it would be dry ground. Bit of a rocky moment, I reckon, for Joshua and the people there. But trusting in God, it would come through. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all Israel, all hundreds of thousands of them, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands there were, maybe millions, I don't know how many people, but there was a lot of people. It would have taken a long time. It was a long time for the Levites to stand with that ark in the middle of the water, in the middle of the riverbed. Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. I don't know when you think about these 12 stones. We're not talking Chuckies here. We're not talking skimming stones. I think the reason that God said choose 12 men here and not 12 women is because he knew 12 guys from 12 tribes were going to go in there and they were going to compete for the biggest stone. They'd pick up one and say, well, wait a minute, he's got a bigger stone than I am. I'm going to go for the biggest one. They would bring the biggest stones out. It would be pretty pathetic if they took 12 really small stones. They took the 12 of the biggest stones, I reckon, and took them to the place, took them over the river. But then the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, Lord, to come up out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests, come up out of the Jordan. And the priests came up out of the river, carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. As if to say, God saying, well, if you didn't believe me that it was me who stopped it, believe me now because I've started it again. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan, these 12 massive stones. He said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Joshua led the people across the Jordan. The waters miraculously stopped as the Levites with the ark entered the water. God was leading the way. God was making a way for his people. The people crossed on dry ground with their 12 stones. The ark came out of the river. The water flowed again. The people built a memorial with the stones to remember that it was the Lord who had done this. This was it. They had crossed over. They had done it to the other side. There was no going back. I don't suppose if they'd said, I forgot my toothbrush, can you just go back again? That if the Levites had gone back, I don't think the waters would have stopped again. They had crossed over. There was no going back. God's people in the land promised to Abraham, to Isaac and Jacob, to Moses, and now given to Joshua. A land flowing with milk and honey. With one or two giants in the land still to conquer. One or two giants still to conquer. And all the emotions that would be where with the people at that time. All the excitement. The fear. Suddenly they were in this land. There wasn't a river between them and all these nations they had to conquer. Suddenly they were on the same side of the Jordan. Some people think, what on earth are we doing? And there were some probably who would think, actually, I kind of like the wilderness. Yeah, it was okay. God fed us. God gave us manna in the wilderness. It was okay. And it was safe. It was secure. We knew where we were. Just like 40 years ago when God had brought the Israelites out of Egypt. And they were then complaining. We had leeks and onions in the Nile. By the Nile. We'd be better off back in Egypt. Better off back in slavery. Because at least we knew. Isn't there something in us that longs for the secure and the comfortable? Even if it's not the best. Even sometimes when it's far from the best for us. It's secure and comfortable. And how often we miss out on what God has for us because we are looking back to the comfort and the security of something which we were never meant to have security in. And here we are, Liberty Church, at a time of crossing over. Now, it's not quite as dramatic or miraculous as Joshua, I confess that. But our new home has been a long time coming. 21 years since we last owned our own home, the Liberty Church. And most of us here, I reckon probably about 80% of us, weren't part of the Liberty family when that happened. Most of us never worshipped in Priory Lane, the last home that Liberty Church owned. And we can say, like we read up there, we have never been this way before. We haven't done this before. This is new for us. This is part of our journey, our faith adventure with God. And in some ways, it is only a building. But as Sam was saying earlier on, you know, actually it's more than that. It signifies more. A new building signifies a new era, a new confidence in our God, new opportunities. And I recognize that just like the Israelites, there will be, as we've been saying, all sorts of emotions about moving. When I heard the news on Thursday, and many of you will know the story that the building control officer was due to come round, and I think Sam was saying between 2 and 4 in the afternoon. So I wasn't in the building, it was just in the morning. I was going to go there in the afternoon. Got a phone call from Fiona about 11 o'clock or whatever to say, You want some good news? I said, yeah, I could really do so. At that point, I could really have done with some good news, I have to say. And she said, we're past. And I couldn't speak. I just didn't know what to say on the phone. I found myself welling up, and I didn't know what to say. And I realized, you know some things in life when you don't realize just how much you've got invested in something, how much it's consumed your thinking, how much it's consumed your prayers and so many things until something breaks like that. And for me and for many others, I think, around here as well, it just felt like, oh, God. I didn't know, felt excited and overwhelmed, and emotions were intense. The Jordan River was a physical boundary. There in red you can see the Jordan River. I've highlighted it. And if I press the button here, is that light? No, that's not, am I pressing the right button? No, oh, yeah, I've got a weird red light. That's the east side. That's where they were before they crossed over. There's Jericho. It's just hidden by that red line. And they had to cross over there. A physical boundary between east and west. It was a physical boundary. It signified something. It signified the end of something. 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years of Moses' leadership. But the beginning of a new era and a new land with a new leader. And I love in chapter 5 of Joshua, it talks about the fact that they celebrated the Passover in the new land. They ate of the produce of the land. And at that point, the manna, the food that God had been providing for them, stopped. And it was like God saying, this is it. Things have changed. You're now here. You don't need that. That's of an older time. This is something new. Now you are here. God was doing something new. The Jordan was a clear cutoff in the journey of God's people. This week marks our crossing over. Today marks the end of an era of worship in Queen Anne, where we have been here for 8.5 years. And a longer era of not having our own home of 21 years. Next Sunday is the start of something new. Things change, as we've said. Our routines change. Our responsibilities change. Our rotas change. We say most of us are not good with change, that we like the familiar, but actually most of us are quite happy with change. I think that's true. Actually, most of us like change as long as we're doing the changing. We change our cars, we change our clothes, we change our mobile phones, we change our houses, we change jobs, but we do it because we decide to do it. Most of us find it difficult to change when we think, I'm changing because somebody else has made a decision. And that's why it's so important that we go in knowing this is God's calling on us as a people, that we go and do this together. That it's our choice as a church. We are a unit. We are a body that does this together. Incredibly grateful for our time here in Queen Anne. It's been a great venue. Staff have been helpful. It has served us well. And I do acknowledge a certain sadness in leaving. I don't know if anybody wants to go and smell the curtains. That's fine if you want to. There's plenty of curtains to smell. There is a certain sadness in moving on. A building is more than bricks and mortar. It's a place of memories over many years. We've worshipped here. We have cried here. We have laughed here. We've prayed here. We've learnt here. We've served here. We've eaten together here. We've found new friends here. Some have found healing in this very room. Some have been physically healed right here on a Sunday morning. Some have been released from something that's been hanging over them for many years. Some have found faith and a new relationship with God and encountered God right here in this room. And that's not insignificant. We've shared bread and wine so many times here, celebrated communion. We've had quizzes and games and choirs and celebrations. We've even had a wedding. God has met with us. This has been a significant part of our journey. We are grateful for this space to worship each Sunday. Sometimes it has caused us enormous stress, usually when there's some other event happening and mixing desks are unplugged or removed and elements are missing, and you come in to find there's a whole stage and setup down here which you weren't expecting, or rooms that you thought you'd have you don't have. And that in itself is creating uncertainty and a stress that sometimes we could do without. And I'm grateful that we won't have that anymore. But it's time to say goodbye to Queen Anne and hello to Liberty Center. Next week, our first Sunday in Liberty Center, the home of Liberty Church. I want to acknowledge that it's a change in location. Nearer for some. For some who had to drive here now, maybe you'll be able to walk. For some who walk now, maybe you'll have to drive or find transport. And we will help wherever we can to make sure that we all get there together. It's a change in time, 10:30. How can a church meet at 10:30? It's unbiblical. Liberty Church always met at 10:30 until recent years when we moved to 11 o'clock, so we're actually just going back to the way we were. It's a change in routine and our setups and takedowns. We'll still have to do them. We'll just do them at different times. It's a change in responsibility for us. We suddenly have a building which we can't walk away from. It's ours to own and clean and maintain. This is a faith venture, a stepping out and taking ground. Maybe not in the same league as Joshua crossing the Jordan, but just like Joshua, I believe there will be great blessing and challenges. There will be great blessing in our new home. It's our space to do with what we like. It will be as we leave it. It will be a space that's not just there for Sundays, but for every day. And we want to see it used every day. It will be a space for us to grow in. And it is a beautiful home for Liberty Church, for the Liberty family. There's been so much poured into it as a place of life and hope and salvation and worship and community, and a place to build new memories of God's goodness. And I look forward in years to come of looking around and thinking, we saw healing and celebrated and mourned and grieved in that new place, that we build those memories into that place, the testimony of God's goodness and his presence with us. There will be challenges. There will be challenges in our finances. We still face challenges in our finances. In resourcing, there will be pastoral challenges and administrative challenges. There will be challenges as we step into a new community with a new presence in the community. Here's what I know. We are the same Liberty family this week and next week. And like the Israelites, we move together. We go as one. If you come here next week, you're on your own. The same church in a new location. Our God goes before us. He makes a way. We go trusting in him to lead and guide and provide. It's the same God who promised to be with Joshua. It's the same God who is here today. The same God who will lead us into the next part of our journey as Liberty Church in a new home. He has been faithful. He has been good to us. And he will continue to be good. There is no raging river between Queen Anne and Liberty Center. There are a few dual carriageways which you have to be careful to cross. But there is no raging river. But it is still time to cross over. We do not have 12 memorial stones. We've taken a lot of stones and rubbish out of Liberty Center, but it's all been skipped. But we do have a home that has seen a little bit of blood, a lot of sweat, and a lot of tears. We do have the ongoing presence of God with us. We will build many testimonies of God's power and presence. The first thing that went into the water was the Ark of the Covenant. A symbol of the presence of God, of the power of God and presence of God in the midst of his people. God went ahead of his people like he promised. He made a way for his people. God stopped the waters, a sure sign that he would lead them to victory in the new land. And God has spoken to us in recent days. I know God has spoken to me, and I've needed that at times. And I'm sure he's spoken to you as well in different ways to say, I'm with you. You can trust me. I go before you. This is my plan for Liberty Church. He's calling us right now to trust him. He's been affirming his presence. There have been real challenges to get to this point, but we are here, and God has made a way. He goes before us, and he will never leave us. We could stay in Queen Anne. We could enjoy the comfort and security of here being, and in some ways it would be simpler, safer, easier. Or we can step out, trust God, and cross over. Our God is the God who makes a way. Christ made a way for us to return to God. And perhaps for someone, even this Sunday, For you is a time of crossing over. Maybe this is a part of your life of crossing over into new faith in Christ. Placing your faith and moving into a place, trusting God and entering into new life with Christ. The time has come for us. Are we ready to cross over? Are we ready to do this? Are we ready for all God has for us? Because this time next week, we're going to be in our new home. This coming week, we need all the help, as we've said, to make our home ready. Let's do this together. Let's do this together. I've been praying that even through this next week, as we go in there, that God would speak, that God would move by His Spirit, that as we hoover the act of worship, that God would speak in that time, that we would go by next time we can move in next Sunday, we'd be a people who are so ready to worship in our new home. Let's cross over as one people, giving glory to our God. Amen.